the Wednesday edition. The happy first day of OTAs to all who celebrate edition. It's like the Festivus of the holiday calendar. Are we going to finish these five questions from yesterday? What, we get two of them? Did we get two of them?
No, I got three.
Well, it leaves us two more to get to. Edition. And the scheduled to appear Brian Bulaga, Uncle Homer. And then we leave you, at least on some of our forums, for Brewers Red Sox. Maybe Yelly can hit another walk-off grand slam.
Nice win last night. Nice win.
And we'll get into how you've motivated this team to new heights by calling for the manager's head edition of Wilde and Tausch on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee, 100.5 ESPN Madison, 1430 ESPN Beaver Dam, ESPNWisconsin.com, the ESPN app, your Alexa smart speaker, streaming live video, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and of course, everything you need in the all-new, all-redesigned, all-free ESPN Wisconsin app, where you can listen to Matt LaFleur talk with us at the draft. You can catch up on shows you missed. You can find great interviews like we had from the Tellurian Celebrity Golf Tournament. Don Mikowski, Dorsey Levens, Bryce Popp, Robert Brooks. Everything you need on the ESPN Wisconsin app. I'm Jason Wilde in Green Bay. Jesse Nelson is in the Everlight Solar ESPN Madison studios, proudly wearing his NL Central Champs
2021 edition. Yeah, this one's been around a minute.
You look good. And from his undisclosed location, he is the Packers Hall of Famer. He is Mark Tauscher. Tausch, good morning. How are you?
I'm good. I think we probably need to give Jesse a little love because the Brewers were floundering a little bit. And Jesse Nelson, producer of Wilde and Tausch, didn't say but said.
No, he said.
We should be having a conversation. And since that moment, Jesse, I'm sure you know the stats. What is the Brewers' record since you called for Pat Murphy's head?
I don't actually know the stats, but they do have a pair of three-game winning streaks.
You don't know the stats.
I don't remember the exact. Well, I guess I do know. Okay, hang on. So I'll look it up.
Okay, well, Jesse does the math.
I'll give it to you in a minute.
I'm starting to wonder what, when I text stuff, like, if it even, does it vanish? I don't understand the cloud. I've told you guys this.
It's written in invisible
ink. Does it sometimes
ink.
Vanish? When I send it, it vanishes.
No.
Last night was impressive.
The Brewers are 7-3 since Pablo's birthday bash. 7-3 since the birthday bash when I first asked the group, do we need to have a conversation?
I'm not saying. I'm just saying. Can we instead, I don't want to be the Pablo's party pooper here, but instead of a outrageous claim that Jesse motivated Pat Murphy and the Brewers, can we just say that he was just wrong? Which is what we said in real time back then? Instead of giving him credit for a dumb opinion?
I think Tausch started to think I wasn't wrong.
Tausch?
What? No, Jesse was an idiotic take. I said that at the time.
Okay, just want to make sure. Okay, well, I thought maybe we were coming around to great motivational tool time.
I think you always are looking for ways when you're in this business of saying, all right, well, I said this and then this. The Brewers are playing better. And I don't know, Homer also had a ridiculous take of the Jackson Chourio. So there's been a lot of foolishness on ESPN Wisconsin. I don't know if the KBN boys have weighed in their little group think tank that they're in. Where they're at. But the bottom line is the Brewers, I think Pat Murphy has called them out a few times already this season.
It's true.
And last night was not pretty. 1-0 going to the bottom of the ninth. I still don't know. Like I didn't get a great replay on Yelly's double down the third baseline. How that thing stayed fair, I don't know. but they gritted it out and then obviously finished it off in the 10th. And now you're looking, they won another series, and you're just looking to kind of tread and stay where you're at and then make a push. And I am going to give Jesse some credit. We haven't talked a ton of Brewers on this show. He brought that into the vernacular, and it made us kind of diagnose a little bit. And I think the Brewers, they are trending. They're starting to trend the way that we felt, and they have some horses coming that should be able to help make that push as we're getting into, you know, the dog days of summer.
So it was not a foolish opinion now. It was something that helped turn the season around.
No. Two things, Jason. Two things can be true. It can be a foolish opinion, and it can also be looked at and say, if you're the opinion giver, you could say, you know what? I highly doubt that that's the case, but this is where we're at. The Brewers have played much better since Jesse called for Pat Murphy's head. That also can be true.
They've also played a more favorable schedule. They've had more home games. They did struggle. They should be better than 7-3 in their last 10 because they lost two in Pittsburgh over the weekend. They should have at least won one of those two games. So they should actually be better and over 500 entering play today instead of at 500 like they are.
I refuse to confuse coincidence with causality. I am not going to go back on our opinion that this was premature by Jesse and wrong. I'm not on board. I'm not giving him credit for this. He doesn't deserve it. It was a dumb take in the moment. He was criticized roundly at the party. He was criticized roundly here because the Brewers have played better has nothing to do with Jesse's knuckleheaded opinion. So I can't do it. Sorry, I'm out.
All right. Fair enough.
You want to hear how it sounded last night?
Of course.
Brewers Radio Network.
Were you on the call?
I wish. Josh Maurer had the big moment last night. Here's how it sounded.
Pitch to him. Fly ball deep right. It's going to win the game. Abreu's going back and watching it sail. It's a grand slam. Oh, my goodness, Christian Yelich. He walks it off in grand fashion.
That is from the Brewers Radio Network. You'll be able to hear today's game on 100.5 ESPN Madison, the Madison home of the Milwaukee Brewers, and, of course, on 620, the flagship 620 WTMJ. Is this recent run of success changing your timeline for interest? Like, are you more interested now? Are you more invested? Or is it more wake me in September like you are with college basketball, wake me in March?
Oh, you're asking me.
I'm asking you.
I'm more interested. Last year was a surprise, and I really enjoyed it. Got to a bunch of games. I have unfortunately not gotten to any games yet. I know we're going down there on the 11th to do our show. Have some fun things planned when we're down at AmFam Field. So I think Jesse brings up an interesting point about the schedule. You know, the Braves are good. There's going to be tougher, I guess, teams than what we've seen recently. But I think the Red Sox are hovering around 500. I just want this team to continue to give themselves a chance to have a chance. That's all we're looking for. And I think this part of the season, you need to win the games you're supposed to, and you're supposed to tread water. And then hopefully, when you get Woodruff back, all of a sudden maybe you can make a push. Find a way to get in the playoffs. We've seen that. That's what this group has done. I trust what, Matt Arnold is doing. I think how he's approached it, they're doing it. And, as far as Pat Murphy goes, he deserves the manager of the year. I think even with some of the early season struggles and why I thought Jesse's point was so dumb, he deserves the benefit of the doubt, and I think he has done it. He did a fantastic job last year, and it's difficult when you lose a guy like Adames, who's the leader in the clubhouse. Mm-hmm. There's a little process that you have to go through, and you can't just say, fire everybody. But you also have to pick up your urgency level, and it, you know, hopefully that's what's happened.
Jesse, are you taking a victory lap for your brilliance, or are you going to just do the right thing and admit you were wrong to say but not say that you needed to talk about the manager's job status?
Yeah, I never called for his job, so I'd like to once again reiterate that point that I
you
never...
You didn't, but you did.
Never said Pat
you
Murphy.
You didn't, but you did.
I didn't. I said that...
Hey, that's what I said.
I asked, at what point do we need to start to have a conversation if the team continues to struggle? Turns out, after I asked that question...
A conversation about having a conversation?
No.
Like a chance to have a chance?
At this point, no conversation is needed at all. We can keep on rolling exactly how things have been. Everybody's coming back. 7-3 turned it around. They found out how to score runs again. And what I loved last night, they work and on Memorial Day too, worked themselves out of some tight pitching jams late, some more energy. Crowd was a little more into it as you get into May and Memorial Day. Fans are starting to fill up American Family Field a little bit more.
Dollar hot dog night.
That helped.
Dollar hot dog.
That helped. They're,
that's a good little start.
What did I say when they were in Cleveland 2 weeks ago?
I have no idea.
I'll tell you, they were lacking an edge. They didn't have an edge this season. Starting to feel Yelich with a walk-off granny last night.
So the hot dogs provided an edge, or what provided the edge?
Abner Uribe out of the bullpen. He's a little firecracker. He's big on the mound.
He's a little firecracker.
Yeah, he's
no,
on
I thought that was Marshawn Lloyd.
Very animated out there. I love that. McGill with a big save on Monday.
Oh, McGillster.
Yeah, I like what I'm starting to see. A little more edge from this squad. Churio draws a walk last night. And, by the way, Homer draws a walk. And then he points to Contreras as he's coming up saying, "You got us." And he's pointing to him as he's trotting to first base. A little more edge. A little more fire. I like
yeah,
it.
Yeah, edge.
Are you sure he
edge
wasn't pointing
edge.
Past Contreras to Homer in the stand saying, "See, there's a walk for you, you crazy old man." We will suspend our Brewers talk because we need to get ready for Brian Bulaga, and I want to get to a couple of the questions that went unanswered yesterday from my piece at channel3000.com, but not before Mark Tauscher tells us about Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
Well, there was no better time for Pat Murphy and the Brewers to pick up their game than after Jesse called them out, and there is no better time to upgrade your windows and doors than right now, because Pella is offering up to 6 years of 0% financing. Set your free in-home consultation. You don't have to commit to nothing at this point. They'll listen to your vision and suggest the Pella materials and customizations to make it a reality. Get 0% financing for up to 6 years. Certain restrictions do apply. And this deal ends the end of May. May has flown by, man. You only got 3 days left for the 0% over a six-year period of time. Visit PellaWI.com today to learn more.
What are the questions as OTAs kick off? We'll get to a few of them next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
Bulaga coming up at the bottom of the hour. Packers OTAs kickoff. Well, they kicked off yesterday. Today's the first one that we get to attend as reporters. I do not believe it is open to fans, which I still think is one of the many things that they do that belies the fact that they are owned by the community and owned by the fans.
Did we ever get an answer why they don't just... Is it security? Is it cost? What? Like, why are we not letting 1,000 people go down on the rail and watch?
Yeah, it's football doesn't want their football out for everyone's consumption. I believe that's the answer.
All right, that's really dumb.
Yeah, I tend to agree. I remember the days when you were a player and we went to every single practice and you had a better feel for where guys were at. I've said this before, I'll say it again. Somebody yesterday could have had a terrible day And today, then, they go out and they have a really good day, and we're all going to talk about how good they were, even though they were terrible yesterday, or vice versa, as Tausch likes to say. And they were great yesterday, but they stunk today, and we all talk about, boy, did you see so-and-so? They looked rough. Yeah, I would like to be at every practice, but that's not
I guess
how this works.
I just don't understand. You're not putting in plays against Detroit today.
You are not.
And you're letting the media in. Why would you not let fans come watch? I can't get my head wrapped around why that would be something that you'd... I couldn't understand why you don't announce and celebrate contract extensions for your top two lieutenants. Mm-hmm. And I can't understand this. Like, it just doesn't make any sense. I want to have it make sense.
Make it make sense.
And I am open to someone making it make sense to me. I am not obtuse enough to say I have all the answers.
You're pretty obtuse.
Sometimes they're right. Sometimes they're wrong.
Mm.
I don't know why, if you're going to have the media there, why you won't let people. You're not going to have thousands of people there today, but you might. And last time I checked, you built this big old pro shop and you have all this. I don't understand, and I want to understand.
I do know that one of their concerns, frustrations, issues, you know, they limit how much we're allowed to take video or photos. It's hard to limit the fans. Now, during training camp, there's more of them as well, but that is definitely a sticking point for them. They don't want video out on social media platforms. Now, do I think maybe they do? Maybe the Detroit Lions have a staffer who combs the random Twitter accounts and Instagram accounts of Packers fans looking for video that would give them plays.
This, like, you still have fans come out during training camp.
You do?
And you're much more likely. I guess the problem. Again, man, they're going to do their business the way they want to, and Lord knows they are uber successful at what they're doing. I don't get this, though. Your fans are going to – you want fans to come, and here you go. You're not going to be showing what coverage you're going to have on Amon St. Brown or Jameson Williams. You're not. Like, that's not what today or these OTAs are. It would be nice, I'm sure, for fans to look at Matthew Golden. Get a look. Oh, his belt and cape. And again, you don't have to. I would love to understand why.
I can promise you that if and when I have a sit down with Ed Policy, this will be among the questions that I have for him. Because if I have one issue with the organization, and again, this is not just
like
me
ticket prices
up in my ivory tower. Well, that's a subset of my issue. Okay. Is that they love the narrative that they're owned by the fans, that they are the only ones without a deep-pocketed billionaire owner, but they don't necessarily treat their fan base as if they're appreciative of the fact that they're the owners. And whether that's with ticket prices or concession prices, whether that's with being shareholders who get nothing. I was giving Kyle from Kyle Bruston Norman a hard time the other day because he's a shareholder and he was bragging about how the Packers let them buy special shareholder merchandise. I said, wait, so one of the perks of being a shareholder is that you get the right to spend more money with them? They don't give you a polo shirt. They give you the chance to buy a polo shirt that says shareholder on it. Yeah.
Oh, I like that. I think that's actually a good idea. I like it. You can kind of brag that it's exclusive.
Right. Or you could just give that to them since they spent $250 stock.
I'm not in the world to just give stuff when you're running a business, which they are. I get your point.
With a half a billion dollars in the reserve fund.
Jason, I'm not going to tell. Like, why don't you start breaking down all these big endowment funds from universities to them.
No, I'm not.
They're not the ones coming out saying that they're owned by the fans, bro. That's my point.
Well, Kai,
let's not get lost in the weeds.
Okay, again, whoa, I'm not going to get into that with you. Here's what I want to say. Your point on this being the fans and all this other stuff. Running a business, I want you to make money. Otherwise, you won't have a business. So I want the Packers to develop Titletown, and I want them. And this goes against everything that is. You want fans to come and drink at your bars and go play golf at your little golf shop, and now you got a workout club, and you have all this other stuff, and then you're not giving access to people to come and watch. Where they would go and spend money at the pro shop, and they'd go do the tours and all the other stuff. That's the issue I have. That you are a capitalistic, you are a money-making machine. And you know what? Kudos to you. But then in this case, you're not. And it's not given a competitive disadvantage, because that could be the argument, and I get it. That's not what this is. So that's the problem I have. It doesn't make any sense. And I want to make it make sense, because I know that they want to give fans a good experience, and I know that they want to make money. And you have both sitting here right on a tee, and instead of swinging the club, you say, nah, I'm going to put the ball away. I'm just going to go home. Not make any sense. So,
what does make sense is that on our calendar a little later in June, after the mandatory minicamp is over, we will be headed again to Hard Rock Casino Rockford.
Oh, we will. I think I'm going to take a dabble at those Denver Broncos. I think I'm going to take a look. Because the Hard Rock Casino Rockford, it features over 175,000 square feet of gaming and entertainment space, including more than 1,300 slot machines, 50 live table games, a sports book that I believe Jesse J. Nelson may have made a really wise
one more
selection
win.
And a rock shop. And if you're hungry, we had a great lunch there. You're going to have diverse dining options at the Hard Rock Cafe. You got Council Oak Steaks, seafood, bricked Italian kitchen. I really want to try the UU Noodle Bar. Street tacos and constant grind. Hard Rock Live Entertainment Venue is also 23,000 square feet. And I believe someone in the news, Terry Bradshaw, going to be heading on down to the old Hard Rock Casino. I know our team will be down there asking him a bunch of questions. I would bet. Don't you think Pablo's got to go down there, doesn't he, Jesse, and create some content with Terry Bradshaw and Aaron Rodgers and all that good stuff? All right?
Sure, yeah. I don't know if Terry's available for an exclusive, but he's doing a show.
Oh, I got a hunch. I got a hunch Terry Bradshaw will be available for an exclusive.
That's
Terry Bradshaw's
going
to talk to anybody that puts a microphone up in his face. Hard Rock Casino, again, down in Rockford, a premier entertainment destination just off of I-90 in Rockford, Illinois.
Brian Belaga, who is from Illinois, went to Iowa, played in Wisconsin, and lives in Florida, joins us next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
We're on the Badgers.
The schedule, as we all know, it's very challenging, daunting, however you want to describe it.
Because we're on Wisconsin Sports.
He wants guys who want to jump at the opportunity to play against a schedule like that.
This is 100.5 ESPN and Wisconsin On Demand.
I've got some famous friends you probably never heard of, but back in Rutherford County, our crowd is second to none. You might not know them here in this big city we're in.
That music means it's time for our famous friend, and I'm gonna ask him to make a prediction based on no information whatsoever, because I haven't seen a practice yet. It is our friend Brian Belaga and our favorite former Packers right tackle. Brian, good morning. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm excited to watch an OTA practice. The first one that's open to us is today. There was one yesterday. Here's my question. Where do you think, because we don't really know, Anthony Belton, their second-round pick, and John Williams, whose name, as Tausch pointed out, is very bland. Not to be confused with John Williams.
He needs a nickname. He needs
the rocket scientist. He's the rocket scientist. Where will they line up? Because here's the problem. We have been told that Anthony Belton is not part of the left tackle competition. It's Jordan Morgan versus Rashid Walker. So does that mean he's going to be the competition for Zach Tom at right tackle? Is he going to be the competition for Sean Ryan at right guard? What do you expect, knowing that I'm not going to hold you to this? I'm just curious what you're thinking.
Yeah, I mean, my guess is he will be lining up at right guard, would be my first guess. That'll be where he starts off at, behind Sean Ryan. And he'll probably get some snaps at right tackle at some point. Again, I don't think there's going to be much of a competition at right tackle. But there's got to be a plan at right tackle, right, if something were to happen. So someone's going to have to take some snaps there, right? I mean, and Zach Tom's not taking every snap during camp, so someone's got to take the two snaps there. So I would imagine he's going to get some reps there. And I would imagine whoever doesn't win the left tackle job as well will also get some snaps at right tackle. So I think it's going to be a rotation of what Belton does from right guard to right tackle. And it's good that he'll probably just stay on that right side and just bounce around from those two spots, would be my guess.
Well, that is the thing that I'm most intrigued by today. And again, I don't know who we will get to talk to. We do not get to go in the locker room because the home locker room is being renovated. And apparently that brand spanking new third locker room for Man City when they come to play games here is not large enough for us to be in there. So we'll get a few selected players, Jordan Love and a few others. It was.
Is that an eye roll by you?
It was. Yeah. I don't think I ask for a lot, but I would like to be able to choose who I talk to instead of having them chosen for me. So I'm not a fan of that. But hopefully Zach Tom is among them, so we can ask him, hey, how do you feel about having to compete for your job while you're in a contract year and we all thought you were getting an extension? I'm also I don't know who we're going to talk to. We'll wait and see on that. I'm also curious to see what the wide receivers do. I guess I'm taking requests from you two. What would you like me to keep my eye on today?
Well, is Elton Jenkins going to be there today?
I don't know. I have not corresponded with him. I don't know. But I will be watching to see if he's there and if Jacob Monk is going to be at center instead, because he's not.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a good question. If Elton's not there, who's playing center? I guess my question would be, if Elton's not there, I don't think he'll be there. I don't know why he would show up to do OTAs.
Right.
I don't know why he would show up to do that if he wasn't there, you know, the last few weeks.
A workout bonus. Maybe he has a workout bonus. That's why he'd be there.
Yeah, but he's already missed that. That's okay. Already gone. Yeah. I mean, if it's 90% like we always remember it to be, he's already missed the 90% of it. Like, that's gone. You miss that many days, it's toast. But let's just put it this way. Elton is the starter at center, right? They figure it out. And Elton breaks a chin strap. Who moves into that position? Is that Sean Ryan? Does Sean Ryan move into that position and take snaps at center? Mm-hmm. Is it Monk? Who is the person that then takes over at that position that they trust to make the IDs, to kind of run the show there? So that is something that is worth noting and paying attention to during this time, right? I mean, I think, obviously this period is a lot of learning, a lot of teaching. So, guys aren't, there's still competition, don't get me wrong, but it's not as like cutthroat as it would be in the summer, right? So like Monk could go out there and take all the snaps and it's okay. It's not that big of a deal. But once you put pads on, it's a different story, right? There's a lot more responsibility and things that guys are, you know, it's just different. We'll just put it that way. So that'll be interesting to see. And I think the one thing would be I'd like to see too, Jason, is in how equally are they splitting the left tackle reps? Is mm-hmm. it dead 50-50? Or is, like that's what I would like to see. Like, or are they each getting equal amount of ones and equal amount of twos? Or like, how is that working out? Like, how is that looking? So is she taking reps with the twos all of a sudden now? This guy started at left tackle for how many?
34 games.
Now he's got to split reps at the twos. Like, it's interesting to me how that's going to play out. So that's something that I'd like to know how that works.
Blue, why do you think they went with Jordan Morgan exclusively at guard and didn't put him out there? And then after watching him play, do you just think they view him more suited to play left tackle? Or do you think that's coming from Jordan Morgan saying, I want to play left tackle?
Players can obviously speak their mind about where they want to play and give their opinion, right? I mean, they're more than welcome to, and coaches can take that input and they can do what they want with it, right? But they don't have to meet that demand at all, like, right? Like, I could have, after I blew my knee out, I could have came back and said, well, I want to compete for a left tackle. I don't want to go back to right tackle. I want to still stay at left tackle. I mean, why do I get kicked out of that position just because I tore my ACL? That's ridiculous. But they would have looked at me and said, too bad. Like, you're going back to right tackle. Just deal with it. So I don't think that's it. Maybe they looked at it more. He's a tackle, right? Like, and you know, we didn't get to see too much of him play guard. So, like, it's hard to judge him based off how little we saw of him, right? And that's the problem with making a true judgment on him as a player. You saw him play a little bit in preseason as a tackle. And like, the way he moves is like a tackle. Like, you see the way he moves and his footwork and like how he just kind of, you know, gets out of his stance and everything screams to me tackle. So to move him inside, it doesn't fit. So like, the fit is at tackle. So that move makes sense to me. Obviously, the shoulder.
Yeah, but Blue. Listen, man, that's where he played. That's why I just was so surprised that the competition was over day two last year of training camp, and then it moved him in. And so I just wonder if they watched him, or with the injury to his shoulder, if they were just like, "All right, we drafted you to be the left tackle. We don't want to." You think it's more of, we don't want to pay Sheed and we need to find a guy? Or do you think it's, this is where Jordan Morgan is a tackle, that's where we need to play him?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's, I don't think it's like, we don't want to pay Sheed. Like I don't want to look at it that way as much. Like, because I don't want to like get after Sheed here, right? Like, I think the guy's played really good, that he deserves to get money from somebody, right? Like, I think that's I want to make that well known. He's played well. I just think that I'll relate it back to my situation as a rookie. Like, obviously, I wasn't better than Cliff. I wasn't better than you coming in as a rookie. So what'd they do to me? They tried to put me in at guard. They tried to have me compete at left guard, and I was absolutely terrible at it. So guess what? I sat the bench.
Heard.
That's what happened. So,
that's
like,
what you've said, yes.
That's how I kind of saw, like, that's what I kind of like see what like what Jordan Morgan kind of went through. Like, he competed with Sheed as a rookie. He wasn't going to beat him out. So, like, that's the way it went. So they moved him inside, and that's where he competed. And obviously, the shoulder injury happened, and you know, that's the way it worked out. So now he's going back outside to compete.
But Brian, that's the part I don't get. Because she didn't get worse. He got another 17 games of experience under him. And you didn't think he could compete and beat him out last year, but now you do? Like, I that's the part, I guess I just I'm confused. So is it more he can because he's a year stronger and he understands it more? That battle is going to be really fun for, I think, you and I and for everybody to watch unfold, because that's the battle of, if your coach isn't the GM, the coach is always going to go Sheed because he's done it and he's proven it. But the GM is always looking at, say, he's a first-round pick. Unless there's a, man, he's just that much better. It's going to be really fun to watch that battle play out and who ends up winning it, and then what the after effects of whoever loses it, how they approach their job, and if there's another spot on the line for them to play.
Yeah. And I just want to, and Tausch, you may look at it different than I do. And Jason, I know you know, when you guys are on the sidelines for training camp, you guys look at this differently as well than I always did as a player when we were out there. And Tausch, I know when you were out there as a player, you hated this too, but like, I just don't want guys, people to get carried away with what happens with the one-on-one reps that these guys do against our D-line, right? Like, and I know there's a lot of stock put into it. Who wins in the one-on-one reps? And if Sheed wins a one-on-one rep and Morgan has a bad day, and then the next day it's vice versa. Like, don't put a lot of stock into those reps. Like, those aren't the reps that are going to win and lose a job based, you know, through camp. Like, they just won't. Those are – I always looked at those reps as something that you could do to – for a new technique, to try something new, to see if that will work. Like, I never looked at that as like, oh my gosh, like if I don't win this rep, like this is like a really bad ordeal for me. Like, I looked at it as something to try something new, like a jump set, a short set, like a deep, like always trying something new. So like, don't take into account those reps. The reps that matter, as I always looked at it, were the team reps. Right, the team reps are huge, and then when you get into these joint practices, now that they're doing joint practices, those are the reps that count. Like, those reps and how those guys are doing in these joint sessions are the ones that matter. So when you see these guys going against the other teams, those are going to be the ones that count, and they always will be. And I know that Rob, and I'll get on Rob about it too once the season starts. I know he likes to keep his tally. He loves his tally. He's been doing it probably as long as he's been reporting, but the tally,
he's done it forever.
It's fun to keep it. I get it. But that won't be the deciding factor of this thing. It just won't. It's fun to keep. It's fun to watch. It's an intense drill. But there's more to it than just that. And, it will be a fun battle to watch. That is for sure.
Blue, I'm telling you, I know you're pleading for these guys, the Will D's, the Demoskis of the world, to not put that out to their fans. But that's like telling a toddler when there's a steaming pot, hey, no, don't go touch that. You know they're going to go touch it. You know they can't help themselves. That is what they, because it's easy and it's right there. So I agree with what you're saying, but that is not how the reality of what happens in training camp does. Jason.
I don't keep those stats.
No, I don't keep those stats.
Well, I don't.
Report them. At Channel 3000, you'll have an article written, as the day is long. Jordan Morgan got beat today, did Rasheed Walker stone Rashawn Gary? I think Rasheed is pulled into the lead. Like, I will bet donuts to dollars something of that ilk will happen in your paper.
Yeah. Oh, okay. A couple things. One, there is no paper.
Website.
Second, I will not write.
Oh, I've really gotten better at not correcting you, he says, Brian.
I
don't even correct you anymore.
You did get after him a bit there.
Just defending myself. I don't think I will write, I think Rasheed Walker has pulled ahead of Jordan Morgan. What I will write is, Rasheed Walker got X number of snaps with the ones compared to Jordan Morgan, which would be an indicator that perhaps he's moved forward.
But how are they doing those one-on-ones?
The only time I have used the one-on-one stats was the year that Lucas Patrick, as an undrafted free agent who got a contract after being a tryout guy, went undefeated in camp, which was crazy. And that did help his chances of getting onto the practice squad that first year. Like, he was one of those great, holy crap, this guy came out of nowhere. And he was, I think, doing it with, like,
a brace on his hand or something after he broke his thumb during training camp. So I'm with Blue. I will write if Rashid Walker stones, to use your phrase, Rashawn Gary in an 11-on-11 period in pads. You're damn right I'm going to point that out. Now, maybe that'll be because Rashawn Gary went from having this monster camp last year to not being the elite pass rusher that we were anticipating during the actual season, or maybe it'll be about the left tackle job. All right, Brian.
Oh, you can double dip. You could double dip. Say,
be
oh,
two stories
Sheen is
in
doing
one.
Great.
Yeah.
Rashawn sucks.
It's
yeah,
a breath
double
mint.
Dip it.
I do want to discuss the Jair Alexander situation because, as Tausch and I talked about yesterday, I think the most interesting thing in Matt Schneidman's very good story on The Athletic was not the fact that the Packers have an offer on the table to Jair Alexander. That is not what I think is most interesting. I think it's interesting that he plans on showing up, whether he's got the deal in place or not.
I thought you were going to tease that out.
And we will ask
really
Brian.
Really like anticipating what that was.
And we will ask Brian if he agrees with my theory, which I will tell you next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
Brian Balaga on Wildy and Tausch is brought to you by Surfside. Surfside iced tea and vodka and Surfside lemonade and vodka. It's light, refreshing, and has zero bubbles. It's perfect for a day on the golf course or a day at American Family Field. Cheers to Surfside.
I've got some famous friends you probably never heard of. But back in Rutherford County, our crowd is second to none. You might not know them here in this big city we're in.
While I appreciated your assistance with my tease,
it was such a great setup by you. The guy was like, "Oh, I'm so proud of him. He's teasing this out," and then you start spilling the beans. Pretty good.
It was because I needed you to tell us about Coors Light before we went to that break.
Oh, Coors Light! I love a good tease, and I love a good Coors Light. Brewed with a three-step cold process, cold lager, cold filtered, and cold packaged, so it is made to chill and make sure those mountains are blue. And the clouds are asymmetrical. That's when you know Coors Light is chilled to perfection. That's why it is Coors Light in my hand when I need a moment to chill. Sub responsibly, Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Continuing with the great Brian Balaga on Wildy and Tausch. All right, Brian, as I so adeptly but not really teased at the end of the final of the last segment. So Jair Alexander, per The Athletic, has a contract offer from the Packers on the table. This long-running saga still has not reached its end game. And according to this story, the Packers' offer has not been accepted by Jair Alexander or his agent, John Thornton. And according to a source that Matt Schneidman is quoting, Jair intends to come to the mandatory minicamp, report to the mandatory minicamp, or even report earlier than that. So perhaps next week's OTAs, hell, he could be there right now for all I know. We'll find out. And everyone, it felt like this was like, there was this feeling of, oh, this is great. You know, they're getting closer to him being a Packer. And he's even willing to come in, even though they haven't addressed his contract situation. Is this not a power play move by him because they have not wanted him to take part in the offseason program without getting his contract adjusted to protect them from injury? Because they don't want him to pop his Achilles and then they're on the hook for $16.15 million for this year. This is not some sort of magnanimous move of, oh, God, I'm such a good team player. I'm going to come in even though my contract situation's not resolved. He's under contract for more than they are going to want to give him this year. Is this not, am I misreading this? Am I, for lack of a better term, obtuse? Or is this more than meets the eye, like Transformers.
No, I mean, I think this is, to me, it's a good move by Jair. Like, I think it's a good move. It's a smart move. I mean, if I'm him, I'm going in. I'm going in and participating. And, like, that is his right, bargained under the CBA that he is allowed. He's under contract to go in and work out with the team. If he is not, if he's not allowed to go in, then there is an issue there with the team and, you know, the union. Like, that's an issue. Like, you can't keep him away. Like, there's a problem there. So if I'm him, I'm reporting and I'm showing up and I'm, you know, participating and I'm making sure that I'm there and I'm, you know, because as of right now, he's still on the roster. And we were talking about this all the way back during, you know, the combine, and then the combine went through and there was nothing, right? No, you know, nothing happened. And then the draft, like, so like, he's still on the roster. He is on the team, regardless of what continues to get reported. He is on the team, adjusted contract or not, he is on the team. So like, to me, show up, do what you need to do. And if the contract gets adjusted, it will in due time, and, but continue to go about your business and participate with the team. And that's the way I would look at it.
So did you ever serve as a NFLPA rep, or were you smart enough to avoid that job?
I always avoided that.
Okay.
I always avoided that.
So, Tausch, what happens if he does, as Brian and I are saying, and he shows up and the Packers don't want him to participate until they've lowered his salary and his cap number? What happens then?
So they can, well, they basically have to come to an agreement together that any monies that were supposed to be paid via workout incentive or whatnot, if you're restricting him, now, Jai, you have to let him come in the building. You can work out an agreement and say, all right, well, we'll give you your workout bonus, but you can't come in the building. You can negotiate and work all that stuff out. But if he wants to come in, he's coming in. And if the Packers can also say, well, we're going to release you, or
right,
we're going to put you on a list. Now, you can't just throw people on the, I think it's the not able to perform list, or there's something. You can't just do that without cause. And typically, if you are trying to play a power play move, which you're saying he may be doing, you're then going to try and figure that piece of it out, because that's not going to be good for any party involved. But the issue is, from Jair's standpoint, I would bet, again, I keep going donuts to dollars here, I would bet that the Packers offer, and in Schneidman's article, the Packers have put an offer out to him. It is very low. Mm-hmm. Any guarantees? The $16 million, that's a fart in the wind. I thought $6 million, I wouldn't be surprised if it was lower than that. Because if I'm Jair, I have to look at this reasonably and say, I don't know who's going to give me a $10 million guarantee next year. I don't think anybody will. Now, is six fair? I think with his talent and what he's proven, even though he's been hurt for a vast majority of the last four seasons, he wants to get that more, and he wants resolution. And if it's not going to be the Packers, then he has to start looking in another direction. And the only way to actually get that release, because there is no roster bonus or, I guess, artificial deadline, would be to force the Packers' hand. Because I know this. The Packers were very sensitive. There is a group of us that they cut after that labor, whatever you want to call it, strike or lockout, whatever it was. And it was very clear to us, now, you can come in the building, but there is not much you can do, because if you do drop a weight on your foot, or if you yank a hammy, you know, putting your shorts on, you're going to be on the hook for that period. Now, obviously, a hammy, that's 3 weeks. You bust a toe, tearing Achilles, that $16 million is going to get paid, and they're not going to do that. So Jair and his team might be looking at this and saying, all right, let's at least get this ball rolling, and this will force Green Bay to give us their best offer or to release us,
right?
Because there needs to be a resolution at some point.
So what were you allowed to do? You were like allowed to like go to the cafeteria and get a snack, or when?
No, it was at that point. If you remember, there was a couple of things canceled, and then they came to the Hall of Fame game got canceled. And in essence, what it was, you could start going through your physical, but you could not. You go into the weight room, and they're like, you can't lift, you can't do anything. And by the way, you're getting cut. I mean, that was the gist of the conversation.
Jeez.
That we had.
It's cold. It's a tough league, man. Holy cow.
Well, if you remember, Mike Golic told us the story of his finishing his career in Miami. And he had a knee injury that he was, you know, and everybody was saying, get back out there. And they cleared him. And Blue, you know this. You'd go and remember you'd walk out that side door of the, you know, over by the showers, and you'd walk out and then you go to your car and you go down to practice. Well, Golic is explaining it. They clear him. And then once they clear him and he agrees to it, all of a sudden any back of any of the stuff, the injury echoes bye-bye. So he walks out after he goes to, he's got his helmet, he's going down to practice. He wants to make the team. He wants to get back out there. And there's literally somebody right there at the door saying, turn your helmet in, you're gone. That's the business that the NFL is. And it's gotten better, but it's still as cutthroat as it's ever been.
Yep.
How did you find out that you were done with the Chargers?
A day before a roster bonus was supposed to be paid, I got a call. Like, I just got a call and said, you know, we're going to release you. And I was like, I assume that.
I figured it was coming.
I assumed that was going to happen. I mean, it was kind of a, you know, at that, you know, it was funny because I was already, I mean, I knew it was coming because we were at the house in California actually cleaning out the house. That's how positive I was that it was coming. Like, me and Abby were like cleaning out the house, and I'm like, if this doesn't happen, what are we doing? Like, what are we gonna do? Like, I don't know what's gonna happen here. Like, we're getting rid of all this stuff, and if this doesn't happen, like,
we have to get an apartment.
What are we gonna do here? Yeah, like, I don't know. We're loading up a pod thing. Like, if they don't cut me, like, I don't know what's gonna happen here. But, you know, sure as it was, like, around like 9 o'clock that night, phone rang, and that's what it was.
So was Sitton's release the biggest? Because Tausch and I were, that was the first year we were doing the show that happened. It was like a couple of weeks into us even having a show. Was that the biggest surprise? Was that the, if there was ever a guy getting cut, was that, or were there, you know, I know he was talking about being unhappy about playing the last year of his contract out and not getting an extension. But that, for me anyway, that is the biggest surprise that I've ever had as a covering cuts at the end of training camp.
Yeah, I mean, I was obviously very surprised about it. Knowing how productive he was as a player and how good he was, you know what I mean? Just like everything I knew about him and obviously what he meant to our O-line room and what he was to the team. Everything that was, what was going on with him contractually at the time and, you know, anything that was going on outside of, you know, between the lines, right? Like, but, you know, between he and his agent and what happened, like, I had no idea, right? Like, I was still technically very young at that point. Like, I had no idea what was going on. Like, I was a young kid at that. I mean, what do I know, right? Like, I have no clue. I was still in my first, you know, my first year, my first contract. I think that was probably year, what, three? Yeah, that was probably year three for me. So, like, or four. Well, I don't even know what it was.
No, wrong.
What was that?
Dude, you were not a young man anymore. It was 2016. What? You were a rookie in 2010.
Oh, okay. So that was
2016. You were an old Wiley veteran.
Oh, so that was year six. Okay, so maybe that was. Okay, so my timeline's way off. Oh, my gosh. What am I thinking of?
Time flies when you're so good.
No, it's just a lot of games, a lot of different years. I think to me it was more of the shock factor, simply because, first of all, you think about the group as a whole, right? Like, you think about the cohesion of the group. Mm-hmm. When you go into a season, you think about the guys you're playing. It's like, okay, like, we know we have a left guard. Sitton's really damn good. Like, all mm-hmm. Pro Bowl type level player. Then you know you got Corey, you know, and then you got Dave, and then you got, you know, TJ was still there at the time, I believe, right? Yeah, TJ hadn't mm-hmm. left yet. So, mm-hmm. yeah, so, and you got TJ. So, like,
and they got you.
You know, you're essentially returning that same line that you've had for, you know, a long while there. So, like, it's a good offensive line. Like, you know what you're getting. And then when one of those key pieces goes, you get a little nervous, right? Like, and obviously that's where Lane was inserted and had to step up and play, and he did a good job. But, like, it was just very surprising, right? Very surprising, and it kind of woke me up to the reality of, like, this can happen to anybody. And, like, there were examples of that throughout time, right? Like, of different position groups on the team, obviously. But when it happens, like, dead in your face to one of, you know, someone that you've played next to for a long time and you've been around with for a long time, it's a little different, right? Like, it hits you a different way. Obviously, how things happened with Tausch, and then obviously with, like, Cliffy, like, yeah, I was around those guys for, like, a year. Like, right. Like, I was obviously played, you know, games and things with them, but, like, I wasn't as close with them at the time. But, like, I was around Sitton for, you know, 5 years. So, like, it hits differently when it's someone that you've been around for a while, I mean, built relationships with. So it opens your eyes to, like, man, if it happened to this guy, like, it's certainly going to happen to me at some point. Like, no doubt. So, it, like Tao said, it is a cold business. It is a cold
and
business.
Blue, that's why for everybody, and I think it's changed. There's been a shift, but for the people that are saying, Elton Jenkins, get your butt in here. You have 2 years left on your deal. You know what? You're never going to hear me say that. Elton Jenkins, do your deal. Do what you need to do before you switch positions in the back end of your career with nothing guaranteed left. No. You work out what you think is best, and the Packers will work out what they think is best. And if you can't come to a conclusion on it, you do you. And anybody that looks at it any other way is just looking at it and is kind of like, oh, well, he signed that deal. Well, yeah, but you know what? Use the leverage that you have when you have it. And I hope Elton gets that done and before he reports back to camp. And maybe we'll find out a little bit more about that today with our guy, Jason J. Wilde.
All right. I lied. One last thing for you because of what you said there about cohesion. And this is a different scenario in 2025 than it was in 2016 when they cut Sitton and Lane Taylor moved into the starting lineup. In any way, do competitions, especially if allegedly there are three of them out of the five spots, and one other spot is a guy who has played the position before of center but has not played it extensively in the NFL and is also not taking part in the offseason program, is cohesion going to be any more difficult for this group this year than past years because of all these moving pieces? Oh, and by the way, the fifth guy has never played for the Packers before. He came in as a free agent.
Yeah, I mean, I think it will be a little difficult to start, especially if Elton, you know, I'm just assuming Elton's going to get in, but they're going to figure it out by training camp. That's my assumption, right? Yeah. Like, by camp, they'll have this thing figured out. So by camp, Elton's back in there, and that's the piece that gets everyone back online with the snap count, making IDs, and that's, like, the thing that everyone has to, like, base all their timing off of. So that's very important. But then getting, you know, the new left guard used to a potentially two left tackles, it's difficult, right? Like, I mean, he has to work out how he's going to block with potentially Sheed and potentially Jordan Morgan. And now you got potentially a battle at right guard, right? Like Belton or Sean Ryan. And, like, how is, you know, how's Elton going to work with that? Like there's multiple things that have to work themselves out when you have competition across a line, right? Like, guys work differently with each other. Each guy doesn't play the position the same. They don't like the same thing. They don't have the same footwork as a different guy. They see things differently. Not every guy is the same. So, yes, that does impact things throughout camp. It does change how guys have to play. But I would assume, and this is just me assuming, that they have to have this figured out. They got to have this figured out by the last joint practice. They have to have it figured out by the last joint practice and make their decision by then and roll with it so that this line can just practice with each other from that point on going forward. They have to have it figured out, because if you're continuing to do this all the way into week one, I mean, it really doesn't benefit anyone at that point.
Right.
It just, like, if you name these guys the week of the game, like, I just don't know what that does. Like, it doesn't help the group at all. So, like, I'm hoping the guys emerge, right, who are going to be the starters, they emerge by, you know, the third week, or the coaches make their decision by then, and they let these guys, you know, kind of set their foundation and build together and get on the same page so that this thing is clicking by week one.
Brian, I'll talk to you tomorrow on the Homer Hour, and I'll fill you in on everything I saw today. Thanks, buddy.
Sounds good, guys. Appreciate it.
That is Brian Bulaga, always insightful, whether it's history lessons or what the offensive line might look like. Tausch, you and I are headed to the AmFam Championship. I think it's a little more than a week away for us.
It's 9 days in my book, The American Family Insurance Returns to Madison. Two new exciting changes this year. Wisconsin's own Steve Stricker will host the PGA Tour Champions event that runs June 6th through the 8th at its new home course, TPC Wisconsin. AmFam Champ also debuts a new team competition this year. Two-person teams will compete in best ball and scramble formats. The American Family Insurance Championship, June 6th, which we will be out at, through the 8th. Got that great concert we're going to be heading over to on Friday. I think there's some other fun things that are down the pipe as well. Get details and ticket information at amfamchampionship.com.
The 10 o'clock hour starts in 2 minutes. It's Wildy and Tausch.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wildy and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.